Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
When we start drinking these things, the problems are still there the next day.
and a little bit of more because of your actions that you were doing when you were intoxicated. What you think about that, Pat?
I think you're right on point with that. When it says it's moderate, it's deceptive because it gives you a temporary fix to. It's not even a fix. It's just a temporary thing of trying to make you feel good physically when you can't do something about what is really troubling you. And I think as men, we have to really talk about what life brings and how to deal with it. And when life brings what it brings, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, we have to know how to deal with it. And like you said, sometimes people's life is so tough that they just say, I just want to feel good for right now, and I'm going to turn to this bottle, or I'm going to turn to whatever, you know, to self-medicate. And that's basically, if the people are drinking to try to get away or to try to just feel better because of the situation, it's self-medicating. And it's deceptive because when you self-medicate, you need to get to a place where you're saying, well, what am I medicating myself for? And do I really need this type of medication? And, you know, when you self-medicate, you can make mistakes and give yourself the wrong medication. You can make a mistake and give yourself too much. And a lot of times we drink too much, we'll smoke too much, or we'll whatever too much. And it doesn't have to help the problem. It compounds up or makes the problem worse because then the decisions are made are worse, and then you get into this vicious cycle. And so I think it was a very important proverb to discuss this particular verse, because it tells us that, you know, we have to learn how to deal with our situations in life without this deceptive medication. It's you know, it's what the world tells us will make you feel good, but you know, all the people on TV and in the magazines that are drinking, they're healthy, and you know, they're you know, well off. They have money and houses and land, and you know, that's what the television is telling you. You know, drink this, and you'll look like this, and you'll be this guy, and you'll be this woman. But they don't tell you about the drunk. They don't tell you about the liver or cirrhosis. They don't tell you about the losing of the jobs and the family and the abuse that goes along with that alcohol. They just show you the fantasy of this alcohol. But the reality is, you know, some people don't need to drink. I'm not going to tell anybody not to drink or not, but from my experience, you know, it's really not worth it.
Amen. Can any other brothers chime in on this situation?
Are hitting it right on the head about, you know, not drinking and stuff like that, you know. I feel like you guys said, there's like other costs that comes with that, and it's really not worth it at the end. Like Jamal was saying, it doesn't do anything but delay your problems, because at the end of the day, when you wake up, it's still going to be there, like you said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Still, your problems will still be there, looking at you right in the face. Like I said, you know, with my dealings with my, you know, my father and, you know, alcohol substances, he kind of says things that he wouldn't say if he wasn't under the influence. I know some older people call it the courage, the liquor courage. You know, they're saying some things that we really want to say, but we ain't gonna say them sober. You know, it's people like to say, well, drunk people only say they don't mean what they say. They mean what they say, but they just didn't have the courage to come out their mouth and say the things that they were saying sober. So, you know, and if you look in the back of the bottle of any liquor bottle, it tells you that it's imported spirits in it. It tells you that some liquor stores are called spirits. Because these are the things that come with the alcohol. When they say you're under the influence, it's not that you're under the influence of the alcohol, but you're under the influence of the spirits that contain in that bottle. That's why when certain people drink, they get aggressive, and some people drink and they start crying and being depressed, and when some people drink, you know, they become belligerent. You know, these are the spirits that are inside of the bottle. So when we sit back and indulge the way that I've seen some people indulge in an alcohol substance, it kind of makes it hard for them, because sometimes even in the mornings they wake up and they not have known the chaos that they have done, and so they looking around like, why everybody mad at me? Why ain't nobody speaking to me? How did I wake up in a jail cell? How did I wake up next to this girl that I don't even know? So the Bible is telling us that, you know, don't let that lead you. Get your problems right with God, and I'm not saying that you're just gonna stop overnight, but this is a problem that, you know, we have to give to God and understand that He is bigger than our problems. Take it to Him. And then if you do sit down and have a beer or two or whatever the case may be, when you took in your problems to Jesus, now everything is sincerely off of you. You won't act the aggressive way. You won't act the way that certain people act when they drink. Goes to verse 3. It says, "It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." This verse speaks to me because when you get older, you know, when I was younger, yes, somebody said something to me, you're this and you're that. Yes, I would, you know, engage in a fight with them. But over the time and over the years, when I got older and I started maturing more, I found myself, you know, even when if I get into a situation where there's something, where there's the opposition coming towards me, I try to have fighting to be my last resort. I try to talk, I try to reason first, and sometimes I even try to walk away, you know, mm-hmm. because I understand that, you know, especially in the day and time that we live in, nobody's fighting anymore.
Mm-mm.
We're going to fight you, and I'm going to get a gun, and I'm going to kill you. That's the day and times that we're living in. So, this verse is saying to me that, you know, it's not always, you don't always have to buck up when somebody bucks up against you. But a fool is going to quickly run into that
mm-hmm. fight.
Is going to quickly and blindly just go into the, the situation with an I don't care attitude. I'm gonna do what I want. I'm not thinking right now. A lot of people are in the grave and are in the jail cells right now because they didn't take 5 seconds to think. What you think about that, Pastor?
I think you're absolutely right. And as a man, you have to look at the long term goal. And I think, as young men, we're coming up. That's why we need older people in our circle to get us to look at the long term. And I always say this because our goal is to grow older and to get wiser and live the abundant life that Christ says that we can have. And in order for us to grow older and live an abundant life, we have to understand how to control ourselves when strifes or quarrels come about. And, you know, a lot of times in our interaction with the public, it's a challenge, because if anybody ever worked in the service industry, anybody's ever rode a public transportation, anybody ever went to a restaurant, anybody's ever worked in a place where you had to provide service, people
yes,
will try you. We were getting my battery last night for my vehicle, and a lady just, she just disrespected me from the moment I walked in. But at the end of the day, I got my battery. I was able to put it in my car and make it home safely.
Amen.
I say all this to say is that we have to look at the long-term goal. The long-term goal is to get home safely and get home in health and good well-being. But when our ego or our anger flares up, that's not wise. But when we can tell that young lady or that young man that's disrespecting that, hey, you know, I'm just trying to get home, you know, I'm just trying to get my battery, you know, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, I'm going to take this extra 5 or 10 minutes to let you do your thing so I can get my battery so I can go home. Or, you know, if you want to cut me off or if you want to, you know, cuss me out or whatever, that's not going to stop me from my long-term goals of getting home safely, taking care of my family, and being home with well-being. That's my long-term goal. And if we can, as men, young and old, understand that and not be so intense in the moment, because the moment will jump up on you and be like, you know, hey, P, why you ain't serving me? What's up with boo, 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 boo? You know, in her grill, and she's pushing the button, you know, Prince George's County Police is on the way, and I'm woofing. You know, now I'm getting locked up. You know, now I'm not getting the back. I'm not getting home safe. Now I got lawyer expenses, all because I let her take me there. And all I had to do was just wait another 5 or 10 minutes for somebody else to help me. And what I ended up doing was helping myself in this situation. I cleaned the battery terminals. I got the battery. You know, it was just a thing of, you know, when I was younger, I might have had a few more words to say and called her out of her name. But because I'm older and I'm wiser, now I just did what I had to do because I knew, you know, her problems and her situation, you know, wasn't going to let her problem, her situation, affect my long-term goal. My long-term goal was getting my battery, getting my coffee, getting home, spending time with my wife and my children, and making it home and living well. But as men, we have to teach each other, look at the long-term goal, brother. You don't want to be in jail. You don't want to be locked up. You don't want to have bills. You don't want to have, you know, problems on your job because you're not at work, because you're locked up, because of some person in the service industry disrespected you. You jump back on her, and, you know, it just spun out of control. And so we have to always be cognizant or mindful of the short-term situation. Don't let the short-term situation affect our long-term goals.
Amen, amen. I'm glad that you use that example because when I used to work in the food industry, and I used to work at a pizza place, and I remember one time this guy came to the store, and you know he was. What happened was he had ordered a pepperoni pizza. Well, one of the servers had dropped the pizza on the floor, and he saw them drop the pizza on the floor. So, you know, he was saying, well, man, what's taking my food so long, and this, that, and the fourth, and the other. And you know, I was explaining to him as calmly as I could, well, sir, you know, we accidentally dropped your pizza, so we're getting you another fresh pizza right now. And he was, you know, this, that, and the fourth, y'all, this, that, and the fourth, and the other. And and I kept my cool. And at the end, and when I served him his pizza, you know, he looked at me in my eyes and he told me, he said, man, you know, I appreciate you just, you know, bearing with me. He said, you know, I'm having a bad day at work. I'm rushing around and things, you know, I'm just not having a good day. But he apologized to me. Now, if I would have just, you know, snatched him over the counter or told him what time I got off and where he could meet me at, just as Pastor said, a lot of things could transpire. A lot of things could happen in that little moment of time. I remember my brother was telling me a story about his friend. He was in a Popeyes or something, and see, he was drunk. See, this talks about verse 1 again. He said he was drunk. So he to what he thought, he was at a chicken place. So what to he thought, when his order's messed up, he thought he just grabbed the lady and told her that, you know, it was messed up. But now he didn't grab her, shook her, and did all the things, and now he's screaming, my order messed up. So he goes outside to smoke a cigarette. Well, as soon as he finished plucking the cigarette, he turns around. The police clotheslines him in his face. That's because, you know, the you're not thinking about the long term. Now, if he just said, you know, man, my order is, you know, not correct, then I believe that things would have went differently. But we have to, like Pastor said, look at the long term. You know, let people, you know, what people problems, what they go through. Some people are not mature enough to not let it affect their work ethic or their work time. So we have to understand that, you know, if we just be patient and not always have to react, things would go better. Brother Anthony, can you chime in?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, in a lot of ways, what you guys are talking about is true. You know, getting the long run, like my father was saying, you know, at work, they really do try you. And, you know, the thing is, it's like you got to keep looking towards, you know, I know it's not the job supposed to be working, but, you know, that, you know, I'm blessed with it right now, but thankful for that. And, you know, just making a check every week, trying, you know, keep going. That's my goal. That's the long-term goal, you know. So I don't really trip off the customers. I keep my cool. Try to stay calm as possible, you know. Everybody likes to yell at you and, you know, say you don't know what you're doing. I had a lady this week. She said that I didn't know what I was doing on the Xerox machine. And she was like, you know, you need to put it in the corner so it can blow up right. And I'm like, okay, I've been working here for almost 5 months. I think I know the machine, but, you know, I let her go ahead. I let her talk like you say, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld said, let her talk. Let her go ahead, you know. And then she got mad with me, and she said, let me come back there and do it. And you know what I did? I was like, okay, I'll let you come back here and do it. She tried it 10 times and failed. I charged her for those 10 papers and was like, I'm sorry. I mean, you wanted to do it. I'm trying to tell you that it's going to take a minute for me to do this, and you're not patient. You're not going to give me the time to do it, and you're just going to fail. But I let her do that, and, you know. I just helped another customer, and she was constantly yelling at me, trying to get her to help her. And at the end of the day, I still had to take care of her because she didn't know what she was doing. But that was okay. So I just left it alone, kept my cool, just charged the lady, let her have a blessed day, go about my business, and keep my cool. But I feel like certain you got to choose your battles, and, you know, certain things aren't worth it.
Amen, amen. And, Pastor, do you think because we are the children of God, we are treated the way that we're treated by the people of the world?
To a certain extent. It's like the Bible said, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. I think it's just a lot. Everything has to deal with humans. Man, humans are a fallen being. And so, you know, we got disrespected when we were saved. We got disrespected when we weren't saved. So it's the human nature of the fallen man to be selfish and ungodly. And you know, we will have certain people that will try you spiritually. When you're going through something or you're preparing for something, the enemy will heighten his attack on you. But there's some everyday stuff that's going to happen from the time you were born to the time you closed your eyes for the last time. We just have to be prepared for that. And it's a maturing process. Like I said, we have to have a support system around us to say, you know, just let it go, man. You know, it ain't worth it. Go home with your family, sleep in your bed. You ain't got to worry about the popo. You don't have to worry about all of this. And you know, to get to that point is difficult because, man, the first thing is we want to do is, you know, we don't want to be disrespected. And, you know, if we can get to the point where we're saying, hey, you disrespect me, but I'm going to go home with my family, and that's my long-term goal, go home, keep my job, keep my health, and, you know, that disrespect is just for that moment it's going to pass. But it's difficult, you know, be for real. It's difficult. Even when you're saved, it's difficult.
I believe that when you're saved, it's more challenging because a lot of people like to say, "Oh, but you pastor, you," and they forget about us they forget about you just being a human, and that you know, if somebody respects you on a bad day, you might get back up in their face and disrespect them, and you know, one thing that you said, Pastor, it's the maturity level. It's the necessary people around you. You know, I've gotten to a situation before, and, you know, my brother has told me, he's like, man, you know, just let it go, just let it go. Him being older than me being younger, I'm, man, I ain't letting nothing go. You didn't call me this, that, and the fourth and the other. Ooh, I'm not playing that. You know, so I think that, you know, you were right, Pastor, when you're talking about the support, to have somebody say, listen, man, and even if somebody that's, you know, been down that road before, listen, man, I've been down there before. That ain't a road that you wanna go down, because I know the path that is leading. You know, and oftentimes I think it takes for us to get a little bit older and go through some things and try it the wrong way and see the outcome of the wrong way in order for us to try it the right way. You know, one thing I dislike is when, you know, I'm talking to somebody and somebody say, what? That's one thing I cannot stand, like, because I'm feeling like, you know, I'm defensive now. Like, what do you mean, what? Like, why did you have to say it like that? You know, but Pastor, you were correct when you were saying that you know, first of all, the long term outcomes, like you said, if you would have, you know, went at the lady the other day, you would have, you know, your goal wouldn't have been completed. You wouldn't have been able to come home and spend time with your family and still do the things that you had to get taken care of because of, you know, the aggression or the quick temper. Now, verse 9 says, who can say I have kept my heart pure and I am clean and without sin? Jesus is, you know, he's asking us these things, you know, because there's a lot of people that walk around like they're holier than thou. There are a lot of people that beat other people with the book. And if they would just see them behind closed doors, it would be a different story. Oftentimes, you know, especially when we have some type of leadership in the church, we often forget about where we used to be, where God met us at. Mm. Oftentimes, Pastor, the Bible study before then, you were talking about how Jesus was sitting amongst the tax collectors and things of that nature, and you asked the question, has the church forgotten about the feelings? And I think that is very key, because a lot of people that, you know, aren't just sister such and such anymore, but they're deaconess and they're the minister or whatever the case may be, they've forgotten about where God found them in the clubs, on the street, and showed his bed. They forgot where God has found them, and when they look upon people that's going through the same thing that they were going through, they begin to look down on them. God gave us this word to spread the gospel through all nations. That's why God gave us this word. He didn't give us this word so that we could be stingy with it. He gave us this word so we can spread life. So the next, you know, and that's why I like that verse, because the next time that somebody acts all stuck up and holier than thou, I can take them to Proverbs 20 and let them know that, you know, you ain't kept, your heart is not pure, you sin. And I really think that is why some of the young people aren't coming to the churches, because they're judgmental people in high positions inside of the church that are discouraging our young people. And when they're discouraging our young people, they say, well, they are the head of the youth ministry, or they are the youth minister. So the title that they hold is very it has a toll on the damaging of what you're saying. What do you think about that, Pastor?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, there's, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, you know, that is humbling to everybody. You know, it's like we live, move, and have our being because of the Lord. And it's like you can't, nobody can take off and say, I'm better than you, because, you know, we need to confess and ask for forgiveness on a daily basis, because, you know, as long as we're in this flesh, we will have a tendency to sin from time to time, whether you saved or unsaved. But you have to stay humble, realize you're not in that position or have that title on your own. It's all because of God's grace. And, you know, that should humble us to say, hey, you know, I can't get way up here because God bought me from way down there. And I have to be willing to, you know, communicate to that somebody else that, hey, you know, what God has done for me can do for you. You know, I'm not any better than anybody else. I'm still a child saved by grace. You know, and if it wasn't for God's grace, nobody would have any position or any title. It looks like we ran out of time, fellas. Does anybody else have anything to chime in before we close out in prayer? I see we got a couple folks on the line. I don't know if Reverend Grimes or I think it's Brother Christian have anything to say.
Good morning, Jenny. I was just listening to what you all were saying about how people can be judgmental. It's a situation that I've been dealing with for more than a year now, and people still judge me about the situation to this day. I've talked to a lot of my teachers about the situation and how people still judge me over that. And they also tell me how Pastor and Jamal was just saying, how can someone be judgmental? Everyone sin, everyone will fall and come short of the glory of God, and everyone isn't always perfect. No man is always perfect. And if a man is always perfect, then there's something wrong. So I was just sitting here just thinking about that situation that I've been dealing with for quite some time now that made me feel a little hurt, broken up, because I lost a lot of friends to this situation. But friends don't make me. I make myself, because at the end of the day, I'm the only one that's going to help myself be successful or get to where I want to be at. So that's what I got from the message that you all was telling me, that people judging me, they going to always judge you. Just stay focused on what you're doing and the task at hand. And when you one day become a big successful person, those friends that was once judging you are going to be the ones that wants to come back into your life.
All right, we'll close us out in prayer, Brother Jamal. I mean, Minister Jamal.
Yes, sir. All my hearts and minds are clear. Please bow your heads. Father God, we just want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for the opportunity, Father God, for us men to gather on the line and get the first word fresh. Father God, we want to say thank you, Father God, for every male on this line. Father God, please strengthen us, Father God, where we are weak. Father God, please give us wisdom, Father God, where we lack it. Father God, please be in our services today. Father God, just let your anointing fall afresh, Father God, that every knee shall bow, Father God, and every burden shall be broken. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us for this first word. We'll see you next Sunday.